Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you in your element? This is Jeremy Nelson, your host for Element Wealth Radio. Every Sunday from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk Jackson 97.3. Element Wealth Radio, helping you complete your financial picture.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night after Ole Miss gets the series win that they needed. We talked about it all week. Need to get two this weekend, need to get two next weekend, and they will be a lock for a host. They got two this weekend, and so now there is a win, and you're in effect, a win and you're in situation unfolding in Tuscaloosa this weekend. And honestly, that's really exciting. I mean, from just a content perspective and just as sports fans, I know you would much rather, you listening out there, would much rather Ole Miss have 20 conference wins by now and this be like a non-issue, but this is fun. I mean, this is the last weekend of the year really matters. And I'm excited to talk about it with you and watch the games with you guys this weekend and see if Ole Miss can secure a host. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We'll read some of your comments as well. Happy graduation. I know there's a couple of you listening that had a grad this weekend. So very thankful for you listening and congratulations for your not so little one anymore. Moving on to do things in the real world like the rest of us. And hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. Whatever you guys were doing, hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. We had some weather. It was, it ended up being beautiful today and late yesterday. But anyway, whatever you guys did, hope you had fun. I'm so glad you're here. And I would be appreciative. I would be very glad if you subscribed wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. I'd really appreciate that. Also, right here on YouTube, leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff right here on YouTube as well. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs. Now, the weather was really nice this weekend, but the heat's going to start coming up. And with the increased temperatures comes decreased prices. There we go. I nailed that. With Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Now, they've got everything you need under. If you're doing any weekend project at all, inside or outside of your home, whether you have hunting property, farmland for you farmers out there, I know there's a lot of you listening right now, or if you're just somebody that has a yard like me, you're going to be doing summer projects. That's what we do. Scruggs has literally, channeling my inner Parks and Rec, literally everything. If you are doing inside of your home or outside of your home projects, they've got it. But also great deals. 0% financing for 36 months on all commercial mowers if you're a pro. Or if you want a gator for your hunting property or your land or just for your neighborhood, 1.9% on 36 months for a John Deere gator. For the big stuff, compact tractor, 0%, 72 months. 5-series tractor, 0%, 84 months. And zero-turn mowers right now. John Deere zero-turn mowers, 0% for 36 months. All offers run through August 4th. So basically, all summer long, school starts a few days, at least around here, before August 4th. So if you want to get something done in the yard or on your property or on your farmland, Scruggs has got you covered. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, Mississippi. When you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. We spent so much time talking about Hunter Elliott this last week on the radio show and also right now, or on this podcast, I mean. And you saw this weekend how much him being him raises the team's ceiling. Each of the last two starts going into this weekend were underwhelming to the point where we were talking about, do you make a shakeup in the rotation? And one of the many things I enjoy about the job that I get to do is being proven wrong. It's my favorite part about this is being proven wrong, because it's awesome to watch a guy like Hunter Elliott have a couple of really bad starts. But as we said, you know it's in there, but he has got to be better than what he had been if Ole Miss is going to host and then make it to the second weekend, make a run at Omaha. He's got to be what you know he can be, but what he hasn't been consistently this season. And after all that talk this week, hand up, after all that talk this week, he shuts that door, at least for this weekend anyway, and delivered an absolute gem. Six complete, should have been longer, did not get good defense around him in this game. His pitch count was 111. He should have been able to get, I mean, possibly another inning, but had to throw extra pitches because of bad defense around him. Only one of his two runs that he gave up were earned. Only five hits in his six complete, struck out 11. He was absolutely outstanding. And yes, game two went the way it did, but how much did that start change the tone for the weekend? Offensively, I mean, they scored five runs. So it wasn't necessarily on a Friday night, like the worst offensive output in the world. But if you got just an average Hunter Elliott start, we're talking tonight about how Ole Miss is going to have to go on the road, probably to Hattiesburg, and go through the road in a regional as opposed to hosting in Oxford. That's truly the difference. If he was just whatever he was the two games in a lot this season, going into Friday night, we're not having the conversation we're having today. Set the tone for the entire weekend, and when he is himself, just elevates the ceiling of this team so much, and you saw it. And then they go into game two, and Cade Townsend, just not his best, obviously. That's a really good offensive Texas A&M team, by the way, which makes Elliott's performance even more impressive. And then Rabe, I know he gave up some runs, but the 14 Ks in game three, also super impressive considering how talented that A&M offense is. But game two just goes horribly. Townsend, what, 3 1/3, gave up seven runs in his 3 1/3. Waters gave up four runs. Koenig gave up three runs. It was a disaster for Ole Miss on the mound. And I'll be honest with you guys, I had kind of a four-letter word moment after that result. I was like, oh, they're about to get swept in this doubleheader and just waste a good start from Elliott and waste an opportunity, and they're going to have to go on the road. And what a bounce back from that team to go from getting absolutely walloped in game one of the doubleheader to turn around and play as well as they did. You got a good start from Rabe, especially early. He was excellent, but again, he gets the 14 strikeouts. But, I mean, you got, Folly, Jones, Reuter, all home hit home runs in the second and in the third, and then Uttermark comes through, a big clutch hit for him, and then the door gets slammed shut by Calhoun and Walker Hooks a day after both of them pitched the night before. Just really gutsy stuff from Ole Miss. Gutsy from Hunter Elliott. A lot of doubt deserved going into that start about what he is at this point, and he just, again, he shut people like me up. Happy to be shut up. So gutsy from Elliott, and then gutsy from Rabe after whatever the hell was game two, and then Hook slamming the door late, Calhoun slamming the door late. That's big-time stuff. It's gutsy stuff. And now they turn to this weekend with a very simple instruction, if you will. Win two, you're hosting in Oxford. It's a guarantee. I know there's a debate and a conversation about if they only get one and maybe win some games in Hoover. Forget all that. Two games this weekend in Tuscaloosa. If they win two of them, they will be hosting in Oxford. Signed, sealed, delivered. Write it in Sharpie. It doesn't matter. They completely and totally control their own postseason location destiny this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Ole Miss's RPI actually did not change at all this weekend, which is crazy to think about. They didn't move. They stayed right at 13 after getting the series win against Texas A&M. A&M dropped two, for whatever that's worth to you. But Ole Miss still sitting at 13 in the RPI. Their strength of schedule is 3. That is an outstanding number. And 0 quad 3 or quad 4 losses for Ole Miss. So the opportunity is right there in front of them. There's a couple of things about just getting one that I question. And it's a little cynical, I guess, on my part, really, to be honest with you. But also, you've got teams in the RPI behind Ole Miss that are going to host. Georgia behind Ole Miss going to host. I don't know about Coastal Carolina after this weekend. They dropped all the way down to 25 in the RPI after a 1-3 week, I think Coastal just went. but I imagine they're still going to be in line to host after this weekend despite that. So you've got some teams behind Ole Miss right now that are in line to, I mean, Oregon, for example, was behind Ole Miss. They were a host going into the week anyway. Oregon State is in the mix for that. Nebraska's in the mix for that, and so on and so forth. So just because they're 13 in the RPI doesn't mean that they're going to be 13 in this. But it remains like a couple of things. I'm rambling a little bit. I'll get to your messages here. That's the important part, is reading what you guys have to think, not me just yapping. But a team with a 500 conference record, it has happened before, not very common to begin with. And they also lost the Governor's Cup. So if we're going to say, well, the Governor's Cup counts as an SEC game, by that logic, wouldn't that count as an SEC loss then? So you'd be looking at a team with a 500 conference record also with a loss to a SEC team in the Governor's Cup. So that would, if you're telling me they look at it like a win, if they look at it like an SEC game, they would be then below 500 in conference play. But yes, they do have Hoover. I mean, I'm skeptical about how much Hoover matters. We've seen in the past that there really hasn't been much movement during the SEC tournament in terms of where a team is projected to host and things like that. And again, this is another cynical thing. I can't touch this. This is not tangible. But you guys tell me if you think that a committee of suits, an NCAA committee of suits, are going to award the state of Mississippi three host sites. Southern Miss just swept again this weekend. They're at 9 in the RPI. If Southern Miss takes care of business, they will host. Mississippi State had a bad weekend, but they're ahead of Ole Miss in the RPI. They have more wins in conference. And as you guys know, they are 4-0 against Ole Miss this season. Now, they play A&M this weekend. Luckily for them, they go on the road. They can't win at home. It's bizarre. They're really bad on their home field, relatively speaking. But, I mean, Mississippi State, at the present, ahead of Ole Miss. And so I just would be, maybe I'm wrong, I would love to be, but if Ole Miss only gets 15, I would just be very surprised if they give a team with a 500 conference record who lost the Governor's Cup the third host site in the state of Mississippi. I would just be surprised. They can just take care of it all by just getting to 16 and removing all doubt. We'll see. I mean, Mark Etheridge told us, as I told you guys on Thursday on the radio show, that he just does not believe that Ole Miss at 15 and 15 will get a host site, but 16 will basically lock it up. The margin is razor, razor thin. We'll find out on Tuesday what the projections are, and we'll go through those together. But again, I don't, there's a lot of things working against Ole Miss if they do not win that series this weekend. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just yapping. I don't know. How about you guys take a turn? Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. He can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi, anywhere in the state. Logan Smith can take care of you for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or if you have a business and you need that business insured, he's got you covered. Give him a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Even if you already have insurance, I mean, especially with how things are today, with how expensive everything is, it's worth a phone call, right? You might love what you hear from a rate perspective. I know you're going to love the service. So check him out, Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. And don't forget to tell him that it was me that sent you there. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. It's in the name. It's what they do. They have 16 locations, so there's very likely to be one near you here in the state of Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision-making. You don't need to hop on the phone with somebody out of state or on Zoom or whatever. It's what they do. They make you their priority. They will protect you in every way, fraud protection and more. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. And finally, Advantage Business Systems. If you're a Mississippi business and you need tech for the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You get a complimentary office technology assessment. All right, to the comments we go. So glad that you guys are here. It's, again, like I said before, it's a beautiful day, but let's wrap the day up talking some sports. It's a testament to how dominant Elliott and Rabe outside the fourth inning were, because they needed every bit of their strikeout heavy performances. Absolutely. And again, a really, really good offense from Texas A&M. Those bats are legit and scary, as you saw in game two. To shut them down like that, what was that, 25 combined strikeouts between the two of them against that? Whew, it's really impressive. Somehow took two games while committing what was essentially 8 or 9 total errors, 6 in the first game. Yeah, I mean, I know the way they score it. The way they score, it's wrong. Defensively, a horrible night for Ole Miss behind Elliott. I mean, all of them, really, because, was it Hooks that had to deal with? I think so. Gosh, hold on. I need to look at the play-by-play now to refresh my memory. I'm losing my memory a little bit, guys, to be honest with you. So Hooks had to deal with it in the ninth. So A&M had the tying run at the plate because of a throwing error. And then in the eighth, let's see. Yeah, the inability to, couldn't turn the double play. And there was there's the error in, I'm sorry, guys, I'm waffling through this, forgive me, because I can't read and I can't remember. Okay, so there's the error on Judd, and then the inability to turn two that contributed to A&M cutting the lead to 5-3, and then you had another error in the ninth. Yeah, that 32-pitch eighth inning. Yep. Going to die on this hill. Think 15 league wins hosts. I'm just not sure. Shout out to Rabe for 14Ks. He's going to be especially good for them next year. Game 3 win was probably one of the bigger ones at Swayze in the last few years. Yeah, my gosh. I mean, every win in the regional last year, by default, is bigger than that one. But, I mean, is that the... I don't know. Is that the biggest regular season win at Swayze since the national championship? Any details on the report today that Ole Miss will entertain offers from other apparel companies when the Nike contract ends next year? I've got nothing more to add other than what Chase put out there. It's a no-brainer, though, to consider it. You've got to. I know Nike carries a lot of cachet. It carries such a cachet in other sports anyway that you have NBA players that take less money to wear Nike because it's Nike. What would be the right word? Legitimacy, maybe, that is given to people that wear Nike in the sports world. Maybe that's changing. I don't know. But Nike is the biggest sports apparel brand, for sure. But if you've got another one that's going to come in with more money or more NIL guarantees and sponsorship opportunities for your players, you have to. You absolutely have to look into that. And I've been on this charge lately. Talking about this idea that sports have to get cut. Oh, everything's so expensive. We just have to cut sports. There's no other options. When you look at just the bloated, irresponsible spending department-wide for all of these sports, you have coaches in sports that lose millions of dollars a year making 7 figures. The travel and stuff like that these teams are doing now is absurd. The buyouts that they're paying, it just, the spending is so reckless. No business would operate this way, but they got to keep up the illusion that they make just as much as they spend. What was it? South Carolina Athletics made like $204 million last year, and they spent $203. What were they spending 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 15 years ago? It's so dishonest, that the conversation. I even tweeted about a video that a very popular commentator said, this is the canary in the coal mine, that Arkansas makes so much money, and even they had to cut tennis. They didn't have to cut tennis. They didn't even bother trying to fundraise. They're run by an incompetent athletic director, but go look at Arkansas's books. Look at what they're paying Sam Pittman to not be their football coach anymore. Why on earth would you ever give Sam Pittman the kind of contract that had the buyout associated with that contract to begin with? But why is a tennis program costing you $3 million a year? Because reckless, bloated spending, and they all need to get together collectively and decide how they want to do the non-football sports moving forward. Maybe you absorb them under the university's umbrella. I don't know. There's ways that you can get creative to save the sports without being like, hands up, we're making more money than we ever have, but I got to cut tennis without even trying to fundraise being some like national crisis. It's because they need to keep up the lifestyle that they've been living. So with that being said, you still need to find a way to maximize revenue. And if another apparel company is going to come in and say, hey, I'm going to pay your athletes more money, you got to consider it. Adidas, and look at the baseball uniforms for Ole Miss, by the way, how awful that's been with Nike. I mean, that's kind of been a disaster. I would like to see the pitch of other apparel companies. I would love to be able to like publicly walk through that decision with you guys. I know we'll never get that, but Elliott had the command back. He looked comfortable and like he was leading the team and the crowd to a win, pitched through some awful defense. Yep. And what was ironic is Elliott was dominant only for Townsend to get shelled instead. Did not expect him to get bashed like that. I did not either. Got to feel good about Elliott taking the ball Thursday against Alabama. You should. You should. Pretty sure Kendall Rogers didn't agree with 15 wins. Yeah, there's a debate going on about 15 in the comments. I did not see what Kendall said about that. We will probably have him on the radio show this week to talk about it. But I just pulled up Chase's Twitter and he said, I still think it will take 16 wins barring a Hoover run. So no, Chase, at least, is on the you got to get to 16 train. So can't be anything but Nike. It has its problems, but Adidas and Under Armour suck at making good-looking uniforms. The template, though, is it's hard to screw the template up. But, yeah, I'll have to see the pitch first, you know. Toss another SEC teams in the host conversation. Also, Coastal Carolina took a tumble and probably won't host now. I mean, they could still go win the Sun Belt, I guess. But I wonder how close Southern Miss is now, because Southern Miss swept and then Southern Miss is a game back now in the Sun Belt standings. Wow, what a disastrous weekend that was for Coastal Carolina. The Clemson loss in the midweek won't hurt them, but Old Dominion, not good. I mean, they got the Citadel this week, and then they're at Louisiana. So they could play themselves back into it. Yeah, Alabama 16-11. They went from, what was it, 10-11 to 16-11? Isn't that what they did? D1 shouldn't be trusted. Oh no. we use the whole roster of them for guests on the radio show. Like every week we've got guys from D1 on the show during baseball season. So I guess that means we can't be trusted now. Uh-oh. Vanderbilt's going to miss the tournament for the first time in 21 years and LSU for the first time in 15 years. Oh, man. Yeah, remember for like 3 days, the LSU Burnerverse, who, I mean, just are in my algorithm now because obvious reasons, were convinced that the team had turned a corner and to look out and all that stuff. Yeah, that lasted a week. But didn't Vanderbilt not record a strikeout today? Isn't that the stat? Let me see. I think that is true. Let me look. Gotta get trust but verify, as my dad used to say. I think that was a president or something that said that first, right? Not a politics show. Let's see. What the? Oh, this is so messed up. I pulled up Vanderbilt's baseball schedule, and it gave me 06-07. That is fascinating. I was like, wait, what the hell's going on? It's got them playing Michigan at the very end. Okay, here we go. You guys can tell I'm all over the place tonight. Let's see. Was I right? Vanderbilt's pitchers did not record a strikeout today. That is an accurate stat. Vanderbilt's pitchers did not record a strikeout today against Missouri. Jeez. Here's your stance on 15. In your opinion, the top 15 RPI and top five strength of schedule, who won half of its SEC game, should hold more weight than schools like Nebraska, Kansas, West Virginia, Oregon State, who play nobody. You're thinking about what it should be as opposed to how it is, though. There's the difference. I think it should be the 16 best resumes. Who has the 16 best resumes, that's who earned a host. That is not usually or always anyway. Sometimes they've had like 15 of the top 16 RPI teams host, but not always. Sometimes they get cute with it. Just be prepared for that. Ole Miss should root for A&M to win the series or sweep state. I agree. Absolutely. You guys are big A&M fans this weekend. Don't think Mississippi gets three hosts unless... Yeah, see, that's where if Ole Miss gets to 16, you can't leave that team out, basically. You remove all doubt. I just would not be surprised if a committee room full of ADs in suits, Jeremy McClain being the committee chair, I don't know if that'll help or not. He's the AD at Southern Miss. That'll help Southern Miss. I don't know what that means for Ole Miss or state, to be honest with you. But I would just be surprised if they award the state of Mississippi three hosts unless they have no choice. You have any idea why Mississippi State can't play well at home and also gets blasted by most of the quality teams they play? That is a mystery. Initially, you know what the theory was initially? Not my theory, but the theory was that all of the transfers were not used to playing in front of crowds that big and they were nervous. That was the theory initially for them not being good at home. There's a chance that their ceiling's not as high as we think it is. I mean, their only good series win, really, is Ole Miss. And that's a totally different conversation. Mississippi State baseball, I'm sorry to say this, guys, but State owns Ole Miss. They just do. But, I mean, if you look at the series that they've had against what you would call good teams, they lost at Arkansas. They swept Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt's going to miss the tournament. They got swept by Georgia. They got swept by Tennessee. They swept South Carolina, not going to make the tournament. They swept LSU, not going to make the tournament. Lost a series to Texas, good team. Lost a series to Auburn at home, good team. The only good team they've beaten is Ole Miss, and they swept them. I can't – it's bizarre. McPherson being 100%, now I guess he rolled his ankle, but I don't think they're concerned about it. That'll help elevate their ceiling some when he's back to 100%. He was on a pitch count, so him being back helps. But, yeah, there's something up. Yeah, their 4-0 record against Ole Miss is carrying their whole resume. Yeah. That dude Royo was killing. Yeah, he was. Gosh, I had to listen to one of the games on the radio for a little bit. You should have heard David Kellum about him. He was so funny. I love David Kellum. He's all class, man. But he and Brad Henderson were just like so annoyed at his existence. It was so funny. Not against Adidas if it really helped out with NIL. You say, no Adidas, please. Wouldn't be my favorite either, but if they get a mega deal. Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to, is if they are willing to cut the check and help out with players in ways that Nike will not. At that point, you have to do it. What seed is Ole Miss in the SEC tournament? We don't know yet. As they would be the 9 today, I believe, but you got another weekend to go. Probably the biggest regular season win at Swayze since they beat Vandy and Kumar Rocker in 21. Ooh. Adidas is a net negative. There's a reason why schools jump ship from them the second they can. Adidas designs are just so bad, though. Again, I would have to see the proposal, but if Nike's not going to help with players, I mean, Ole Miss has money, more money than most people think that it does. And I don't know why after 6 years people can't wake up to that, but they can't, which is fine. Whatever. Let them think what they want about that. It does. All that matters is what you know that you have, not what anybody else thinks that you have. But you're still not Texas or Texas A&M when it comes to cash on hand. You've got to maximize wherever you can maximize. You've got to. The Nike deals with players at other schools should make Ole Miss question the association without commitments to Ole Miss athletes. I agree, too. Nike's paying your competitors, but not you. But Nike's paying your competitors, athletes, is what I should say, because they're paying Ole Miss, too. But Nike pays your competitors' athletes, but not your athletes. What do you think about the report on Odom? It got mentioned that he might not have put his best foot forward this spring. Really disappointing. Thought he might turn into a stud. I'm not discrediting the reporting. I'm not saying the reporting is wrong. I don't know what you're talking about, quite frankly. I have not heard anything negative about Odom, unless you're talking about Cunningham. But even still, I'm not discrediting reporting. I'm not saying it's not accurate. There's a long time to go between now and the season. A long way to go. There have been years where you have heard this player's not producing in practice. This player's not showing up. A lot of players that you guys love. There are things that we have heard over the years about players that ended up being spectacular, had bad springs or weird springs or something like that. So I'm not saying it's not true. If you're hearing that during training camp, yeah, that's more of an issue. Spring practice, I just wouldn't stress about that yet. Almost has great colors and uniform templates under Adidas. It probably would be one of their best looking brands by default. Yeah, see, you really can't screw up red, white, and blue in simple uniforms, but let me see. I mean, Miami's look fine. Although I don't love what Adidas has done with Mississippi State at times, truthfully. But even State's new uniforms are much better. It's more about what, right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm so off base and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But like, part of what your uniforms look like are what you ask for, right? Don't you have a say in the uniforms that you put on and what they look like? Oh gosh, I am seeing a really bad UCLA one though. Oh, gross. Horrible. But I mean, Indiana is Adidas. They're very standard and normal, and they don't have any crazy looking stuff that, like, you know. Is Corbin going to hang it up soon? Wouldn't be surprised. He's going to hang it up, and then he's going to blame NIL, and then people are going to be like, oh my gosh, it's so horrible. Look, another coach retired. He had a built-in advantage for years. Question Jay Johnson's future long-term at LSU. Well, they want him fired. It's not going to happen, of course, but how quickly things can turn on you. You know who's damn good? Auburn. Yeah, they are. Oh, gosh. Any thoughts on the State fans feeding Auburn players? Whoo, that's a discourse every year. It happened in the Texas series last year. Texas comes in, sweeps them, and then you got fans giving them food. Here's my honest, nuanced opinion about that. If you guys didn't see it, it's a thing that State fans have been doing. They gave Auburn players just stacks of food. The people that have the rigs in the outfield, they cook all day. And they gave Auburn, who just beat them, big old stacks of food. And it's a hospitality thing. And on one hand, you love to see that in sports. It's just sports after all, right? And, you know, respecting your opponent is a good quality to have in sports. I'm teaching that lesson to my son that on his soccer team, there was one of his teammates in particular that after they would score would just lose his mind and like ran up into the faces of other kids. And like, no, we're not, that's not. And at 6 years old, I'm not, especially like rec league coaching where it's just a kick and giggle. I didn't really get on to that individual kid that much. That's for his parents to do. When you get older, maybe that's different. I don't think that was my role for 6 year olds, but I did tell my son, you do not act like that. Scoring the goal's enough. Go high five your teammates. You know what I mean? So I like sportsmanship. It's a good thing. But on the flip side, what do you want your environment to be known for? You want it to be the place that when you go there, it's everything's great and the fans are so nice and they'll feed you in between innings. And after you beat them, they'll high five you and give you plates of food and send you on your way back to the dugout so you and your teammates can eat on their field after you just beat them on their field and be well fed and be happy and everything's great. Or do you want to be the place that when a right fielder or a left fielder sees you on their schedule, gets nervous, intimidated, scared, whatever? If you want to just be the happy, oh, everything's great, high five, good job beating my guys, you highly paid professional athlete, go for it. That's fine. If that's what you want to be, that's a very noble thing to be. Do you want to be a very intimidating place to play? Do you want to be feared? Do you want to, because that to me, that those are two different things. And if you're going to be the people that are so nice and accommodating and all that, again, that's fine. But you have a venue that could be feared by players. And at the present, it's not, clearly. And also, if you have a surplus of food that you cooked all day, why does it have to go to the Auburn players? What about the stadium workers? You know, the people that punch the tickets, that worked in the concession stands, that clean up the stadium after it's over. Did it go to the Auburn players because it looks good on a Facebook post? I don't know. Again, sportsmanship's good, but the highly paid professional athletes that just beat your team on your own field don't need to be fed. Like the school that pays them now a lot of money will take care of that. I don't know. Just give it to your stadium workers, the employees, you know? You're supposed to not like playing on the road. I don't know. Oh, you meant Cunningham? Well, again, same thing applies, though. I mean, I have heard over the years, even this year, things about certain players that you brush off because it'll be fine. Last year, the year before, every year you hear about a player that's awesome in the spring that doesn't amount to anything. You hear about a player that's struggling in the spring that ends up doing well. Remember all the stuff about Poo Paul? Wasn't a good practice player. That stuff wasn't inaccurate. He didn't start initially. Just a gamer. I'm not concerned until you start talking about stuff in training camp. The best fishing spot in South Carolina? Oh, gosh. Oh, man, I can't give you a specific one. I grew up fishing on goat track golf courses. That's what we did. I'd go up to the mountains occasionally and fly fish, catch really small trout up in the mountains. But no like secret honey hole or anything in the upstate. No, I just did a lot of golf course fishing and public river fly fishing growing up. Oh, gosh, Benny, you're gross, man. Luke State owns Ole Miss, but when the two ballparks are rowdy, I feel like Swayze's more intimidating. It can be, although I did notice on Friday, it was the ninth inning, I was like, why isn't everybody standing up? Like, this is a huge moment. Y'all got to get into this a little bit more, but I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing things through the TV that aren't real. I think there's a double-edged sword where State fans seem to be both hospitable and soft. And that's the debate, right? And both people on both sides, we're going to have this conversation tomorrow on the radio show, and I know Hey Dad is going to be not looking forward to it because both sides are extremely passionate about it and are, I think, completely unwilling to hear the other side of maybe, you know, instead of giving it to the Auburn players that are – making six figures and, you know, John Cohen's the AD there and stuff like that. You know, instead of giving it to them, go find a custodian and let him bring it home to his family as opposed to the highly paid baseball. You know what I mean? And then the people that do that look down upon or talk down upon the people that, I don't know. It's a mess. It's a very college sports debate conversation. I'm not a troll. I don't do that. I hear from people sometimes that want me to, like, you know, be a caricature, I guess, and like take shots at State every day. I don't want to do my job that way. I don't find that, personally, I don't think that's the best way to build a long-term, loyal, and dedicated audience. If you're just trying to, oh, let me see if I can make all the State fans mad today, is not how I want to approach things. Because State fans listen to, they engage with the sponsors too. And that shock jock stuff can work for a little while, but I don't think it's long-term. I don't think you build a loyal audience that is willing to, you know, patronize your sponsors if you're an ass all the time. Now, there are things that I say that they don't like and post personal things that I don't know how they know about me on message boards. That does happen, but it's not intentional. I'm just kind of try to call it like I see it as best I can. But anyway, off the top of your head, what's the next huge sports story that nobody's talking about right now that's coming around the corner pretty soon on a national level? It's already started. Gambling infiltrating college football. It happened with Sorsby, but that's just one guy. He's going to gambling rehab, which he clearly needs. But I think that you've got a big story coming about a lot of players influencing player props. I mean, it's happened in basketball already. I think that's coming to college football. Sooner rather than later, that's coming to college football too. Yeah, it'll happen again with this gambling, 100%. And he's done. He's not playing. LSU caught such a break, with him. My goodness. Yeah, he's done. He's not playing college. And I don't think he'll play in the NFL either. I really don't. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. He'll have to go the UFL route first. But I think that's the next big college sports story to drop. It's going to be that you've got a bunch of dudes hooked up with the wrong people. I mean, if you have like the mob or whatever influencing small college basketball games, as has come out in these indictments, you think they're not trying to get football too? Yeah. Yeah, they are. They have, I'm sure. I mean, you hear stories about like meetings that all over the country where, like, I heard of one school, not Ole Miss, not in Mississippi. I heard of one school that made all of their players turn in their phones when they walked in the door, and they deleted gambling apps off of players' phones. Like, that's what they did in a team meeting. Just give me your phone, unlock your phone. I'm deleting all of the gambling apps off your phone right now. Somewhere else, not here. But I did hear that. So it's coming. It is coming, but anyway, I'm going to hang it up. I really appreciate you guys being here as always. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. And we'll be back on Tuesday, Regional Projection Tuesday. That'll be a fascinating one. You'll know exactly how everything is laid out the final week of the season coming up on Tuesday. We'll look at both Baseball America and D1s when we get to that. You guys have a good night. We'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.